Very good morning. Welcome into Friday's programme with you right through until 12 midday. We're going to Roscahill. They're an autistic student at Roscahill School have been let down following a delay in promised services. I think the department should hang their head in shame on this one. Today also we're looking at a bull run, running indeed from Pierce Stadium to the Emirates Stadium, all for Galway Hospice Foundation. That's a lovely story there. We're also looking at Grandparents' Day today. We're also looking at Community Alert with Minchin Achira, and we have some news on that coming in for you there. Grandparents, 83% of them assist with childcare. That and much more between now and 12 midday. Just don't go anywhere else. Comment lines open 086 38 33 55 3. It's a Friday morning. We're with you until midday. Good morning. Now, if you want to get in contact with us, you can also call us on 091-770-077. And it's kind of hard to look out the window. I was coming into work this morning and the roads were still flooded. N59 was flooded in spots coming in this morning. But lo and behold, it's kind of hard to believe that it's going to be 25 degrees tomorrow. It's going to be that hot. And yet we're looking out at the weather that we have today. But hopefully it'll lift for the weekend and right into next week to give us a little bit of summer is what we're looking for. Now, let me go to the Roscahill School, indeed, because they've been let down, as I said earlier on, following the delay of promised service. I'm joined by Councillor Seamus Walsh and, indeed, by Barbara Keneally, who's a parent. And both of them join me on the line. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Barbara, good morning to you
as
well.
Good morning, Keith.
Listen, Barbara, I'm going to start with you as a parent on this one. I mean, what is the situation here? Promises have been made and promises have been broken. And there was great anticipation when it was announced that you were due to get an extra unit so you could take in some extra people who needed education. And lo and behold, that hasn't materialised.
No, Keith, it's very disappointing. Yes, you're right. There was another unit, an expansion unit was granted. So for incoming junior infant students. So the school have taken in a number of them on the premise that the modular builds that we were waiting on was to be installed and ready to go for September. But unfortunately, we've been very badly let down by the department, by the project management teams that are overseeing these structures being installed. And lo and behold, the students that have just started in junior infants are being facilitated in what was the gross motor room. So my child's in infants, he started last year, and he is in the room that he was that he has started since last year. So he's in the purpose-built modular building room for him. But the gross motor space that him and the other children in the school need for the regulation to help them to learn is now being used to facilitate the children that have come in. It's small. It's not at all suitable. The school have done everything to make it as the best class that they possibly can with the space that they have. They're fantastic. But we have been very badly let down by the department, unfortunately. Yes.
You have, but I do remember when this was mooted first, and I do remember speaking to somebody when the principal mooted it, apparently, that they would take in some extra students this year. Then the department agreed to it. Then they went all the way down the line to it. And then basically, from again, I'm going on third-party information here because the principal cannot, and I can understand that I will not get involved in this, I'm told. But then somebody pulls the plug and says, hang on a second, we're not going to have it here for September. So then the key room that gives them the space so that they can be themselves outside of the education purpose, that's now being used as the extra classroom. And lo and behold, the department have just gone underground and said, we don't know when it's going to be done, effectively.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't know. We were told breaking ground in December, probably the earliest at this stage. It's going to take 3 months to finish the structure once it's been built, but we still haven't been given a definite date of when it's going to start. So we don't know. Then the weather's bad at that time of year. Can the works be done? We really don't know how long it's going to take. And in the meantime, then the children don't have, like, I can only speak on behalf of my own child, but he needs movement. He has to have movement. If he doesn't, he becomes very dysregulated, he becomes very upset, very overwhelmed, sometimes aggressive. And he holds it in, he masks a lot, so he holds it in school, and when he comes home then it's a safe space and he just has to let go. And it's very, very difficult to watch that as a parent. It's very difficult for his siblings to watch, and it's very difficult for his daddy to watch. So it's very, 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 very tough. And like I've been liaising with the principal, his teacher, his SNAs, they're amazing. They're doing everything that they can in school with the facilities that they have, and the weather's getting worse, Keith, and that's my worry, because every day I look out to see what the weather's going to be like. and I know then what I'm going to expect from him when he comes home from school.
But you and other parents are living on the edge long enough, so you are, and all you're trying to do is give your son and your children the best chance at life, so that they can have a normal life. But they need the infrastructure that they have. If the department said we won't give it to you until 2025, so be it. You wouldn't have. The school wouldn't have taken in the extra pupils. They've done that now. By doing that, they're putting extra pressure on themselves, and there is no resolution pending. Seamus Walsh, what's your take on this?
Well, I have to compliment Barbara on her fighting for her child, and that's very, very... I had a nephew in the same, God rest him, he died last year. We know what there was a special room kitted out in the house for him, and we know what it meant. And the loss of that gross motor room, you know, the effect that's having on children, you know, that are, need the room, that's bad enough. Then you're into the cramped situation. Then you're into the hope of having new rooms delivered before Christmas. Then we're told they're going to start at Christmas. If we don't keep up the pressure, they won't even start at Christmas. What are we doing about it? Barbara is doing everything she can about it. Barbara is the prime motivator here as far as I'm concerned. She's the lady that contacted me, brought me. I actually attended the Parents Association AGM to hear the things. There's other problems with traffic. The school is on the N59. There's a need for a footpath on the other yard side. There's a need for other things.
Okay, but that can be dealt with separately. Let's deal with the infrastructure here, though, Seamus. I mean,
yes. Well, the position is that every obstacle that can be put in front of these schools, and especially Killarney School, regarding its situation on the N59, is a major problem. This room in itself, it's a builder's problem. What I can gather, that the availability of the actual contractor, I think, is a problem. But I have contacted Senator. First of all, I contacted Noel Thomas because he's a local man. I know he's living in Michael, but he's a local man there in the area. And both of us together rang Ollie Crowe to get a meeting with Norma Foley, Minister Norma Foley. And that was last Friday night. Now, fair play to Barbara, she wasn't waiting for us either. Things have hit the fan, if you like, and it's moving. And that is the only way, because the squeaky wheel will get the oil. And if you don't keep this fight going, Roscahill have had a great parents' association down through the years. I worked with Catherine Keogh on the securing of the car park at the rear. That car park now was chock-a-block every day. The headmaster has to be out for 15 minutes, morning and evening, to direct traffic and to make sure it keeps moving. If you saw the operation down there, I haven't seen it in any school. In my 25 years in Galway County Council, I haven't seen it in any school. It's military position down there. And they're actually asking for parents to come in, three parents per morning and per evening, to keep the traffic moving. That's how bad it is from the traffic point of view. Then you turn in to the actual build of these rooms, and they're not happening. The people of Killarney are doing everything they can to keep that school going. And I respect what Warwick is doing there, the headmaster. He's explained it to me, he's shown it to me. They have 10, 15 minutes of hell in the morning, them the evening. That's what they have. He's willing to put up with that, but he needs help. And we need help from Norma Foley to get these rooms. And as I said, Ollie Crowe has been tasked with getting us a meeting. He hasn't had the time yet to get back, and this article hit the papers, but I'm hopeful of a meeting in the next week or so.
Well, you see, you've taken the fire out of me at this stage, because I was going to say to you that you and Noel Thomas are Fianna Fáil councillors. Norma Foley is a Fianna Fáil.
As a personal friend of mine, I might add, since the time we were on the councils together, before she became a TD.
Okay, but she is the Minister for Education.
And the reason that I've gone to Ollie Crowe to do it is that I know he's in Leinster House 3-4 days a week, and that he'll be meeting around the corridors. And I know he will get us a meeting.
But the meeting is one thing. But, I mean, is the core of the issue then, because you're an engineer, is the core of the issue that there is nobody able to construct this, or the person who would have got the contract isn't able to start until Christmas? Is that
well,
the
I think it's prioritisation.
Is it the department or the builder, Seamus?
Both. Because the department ticked the boxes. And, look, I worked for the HSE. I think it was 11 years I was a resident engineer between Kettlebell Hospital and the regional UCHA. And I know how the department deals with it. And it's really, and I know it's nothing focuses the mind, as they say, like a hanging in the morning, right? And unless the pressure is put on, and unless they're showing up for what they are, they aren't that interested in the individual cases. And if you look at the autistic spectrum disorder throughout the whole, with regard to respite, with regard to the way the parents are let down, with regard to the life they have, with the, regard to the few that have for the future when they are gone.
No, that's
I mean
that's
the government.
Fine, we'll come back. Don't go off the point. We're looking at a unit.
That is the point, though. It's the whole spectrum that is the point. 100%.
But that's not for today. We're dealing with what's going on here. The lack of a facility that was promised, that the staff bought into, that the parents bought into, that the pupils bought into, and now everyone is cramped into a room that shouldn't be in.
Correct. But isn't that a lack of prioritisation? And isn't that a lack of recognition for the parents of the children that need this help, that are battling against all the odds for help, and that need help and deserve help? We can find help for other groups. There's more interest in other groups than there is in this group. And that's a fact.
Okay.
And I think it's one of the main groups. You have young people trying to pay mortgages, trying to rear families, trying to educate their children, trying to see after their future, and they're left behind by the department. And broken promises. And disappointment.
Absolutely. But I mean everything, to be honest, I mean this program every week we have parents that are just fighting for basic human rights for their children. And I know there's pressures on the HSE, there's pressures on CAMHS units, there's pressures on social services. I know all of that. But I mean, some of the parents that, including, unfortunately, Barbara that's with us today, she has to fight and she has to fight hard.
She does.
Just
and
to
another
get
thing
basic
is, you see,
human rights.
And it's a unique case, right? Because you have children that were used to having their gross motor room, that look forward to going into that in the morning and now it's gone.
Yeah.
They don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
How, and there's a lack of communication. That's the whole disorder. The communication is the main issue, isn't it? The children are highly intelligent. It's to get the communication, to get them working, and to get... And the point I would make about it is that type of shock to their system. And if you have Boothla and you have all these different people that are looking after the welfare of children, but these children cannot speak for themselves. And this is one area that must be looked at, which is why I thought it was a national issue, and I highlighted it to our local senator.
All right, James, thanks for joining us. Barbara, if you were Minister for Education, or you had the power to be Minister for Education, what would you do today?
Oh, well, a million-dollar question, I guess, but I suppose the main thing, I think what James touched on there, is communication is really important, and to not make promises that can't be kept. You know, if the school had known this, if the parents had known this, the CNOs local had known this, then those children wouldn't have been, you know, they would have waited until the facilities were available. And there is such a shortage of these facilities anyway. Like, my child got the last spot in this unit, and it was a godsend that the unit opened in 2022 when my child started, because otherwise we didn't know where we were going to send him to school. And that was our local school, and we were just overjoyed when the unit was opened in the first place. And so many families of the children that go to school, my little boy's friends, their parents will all say the same thing. So I suppose, you know, it's the fight is just, you know, I suppose, what can you say? Like, but it's communication is important. Don't make promises you can't keep. And there's a project management team overseeing all of this, and they seem to be the ones that are dealing with it, and there's no communication and nobody knows, and we're just in limbo. And it's really unfair. And as Seamus said, to have that facility and to take it away, as bad as it would be, and it would be terrible to not have it in the first place, and to be making provisions. And there are places, there are situations, there are schools with that, and it's a desperate situation. But to have it and then to take it away, my son is asking every day, when is the room going to be back?
Yeah.
He comes home every day and he's like, when's the movement room back, mommy? You know, so it's like, he's five and he knows he needs it and he's missing it. And, you know, all of the children are. And there's other children that need it in the school as well that aren't full-time in the unit, that are in other classes and withdraw from the classes to use it, like they would in other schools, and they're missing out on it as well. And it's just, it's heartbreaking to see the effect it has on children. I can only speak for my own child, but the effect it's having on him is just, and on the entire family, is awful, because he's such a good, bright, happy little boy. And when he gets his movement in, he can do anything. But when he cannot move and regulate himself, it's heartbreaking to watch.
All right. You keep fighting and we'll be with you every step of the way. But we'll put calls into the department as well on this one. But Barbara Keneally, parent, thank you indeed for joining us. And Seamus Wald, councillor, thank you for joining us. And we will put a call out to the department on that today. Really and truly. And you can just sense the passion both in Seamus Walsh and indeed Barbara as the parent. Just a quick mention, by the way, Birgit Lachman has an exhibition of paintings. It's on in the Cava at the Courthouse in Kinvara until next Sunday. And it runs right through until Sunday. Birgit recently had a very successful exhibition in the Town Hall Theatre in Galway called Kudos. And it showed her series of portraits of women working in a predominantly male environment. And Birgit met with each of these women and listened to their stories. But Birgit not only paints portraits, her paintings range from photorealistic images to highly abstract images, but she does it all absolutely beautifully. It's a stunning exhibition out there. In this latest exhibition in Cava, Birgit combines these portraits with her other abstract work as well, each showing the side-by-side to make a very interesting and beautiful exhibition. It's open each and every day up to Sunday, and it opens at 11 and runs until 5. So if you're in and around the Kinvara area, pop in. And there's one of her pieces, and there's a tire in it. So you have a female person changing tires and trucks and that. But just look at the tire. Just see the detail in the tire. It's absolutely beautiful. So well done to Birgit Lachman. It's in Cava, in Kinvara, running until Sunday at 5 o'clock, 11 to 5 each and every day. Until Sunday. Now let's do this and this, and then we could give you a chance to win today.
Stop the tank with Sweeney Oil and win a €300 Sweeney Oil voucher and a Magnus monitor only on Galway Bay FM.
Now it's the final day that you can win. We're giving you a chance to win a €25 Sweeney Oil voucher to be used for Sweeney Oil or in Sweeney Oil service stations right across the city and the county as well. So from Clifton all the way to Oranmore and onwards, you can spend it. So quite simply, I'm going to give you a number. And today's number, first number I'm going to give you is 927. 927. Why am I giving you that number? Because it's 27 minutes past nine. That's why I'm giving it to you. It's so original, isn't it, really and truly? So what we're going to do in the next hour, we're going to give you another number. You add the two together, and what you do then is you text us, add the total to 086 38 33 55 3, and you could win yourself that €25 voucher. Then each and every daily winner goes right into the pot, and we pick one winner that gets the daily voucher. They're upgraded to a Magnus monitor, which is free for 1 year to them, and a €300 Sweeney Oil voucher. Now, there are terms and conditions on this one, and they can only deliver to where they deliver to, which is Galway City, Connemara, Mayo, Kinvara, North Clare, Roscommon and Leitrim. So there'll be one winner each day of the €25 home heating oil voucher and one weekly winner of the Magnus monitor, free for 1 year. It only costs €48 per year thereafter, and again they'll get themselves that €300 worth of home heating oil voucher. So you have to stay tuned, and God knows when I'll do it. But between now, I promise I'll do it between now and 11 o'clock. Is that okay? I might even do it in this hour. If I take an ocean, it's a Friday, the day that I take notions.
Stop the tank with Sweeney Oil and win a €300 Sweeney Oil voucher and a Magnus monitor only on Galway Bay FM.
A very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. I see there's a choral festival as well this weekend. Give you more details on that later in the programme. Now, I was reading the brief on this yesterday and again this morning, but Philip Ryan joins me on the line today. Philip, good morning to you. How are you today?
A bit sore, but sure. We're all right.
Listen, I want to go back before I go forward because your Uncle John... You're doing a run in just to remember your Uncle John and his first birthday since he passed away, unfortunately. Tell me a little bit about John.
John was well known around Galway, so he was, anyone who had an interaction with him was, they all remembered him, and I was lucky enough to live with him for all my life. He lived in our home house, so he did, and he was a big part of my life, so I just wanted to do something to kind of remember him, but something to get everyone involved.
So he was John Ryan then as well, was he?
John O'Sullivan. Yeah, my mother's brother, so he was.
And where was the home house?
23 Barry Avenue, Merview.
Oh, for God's sake, I know who you're talking about. John with the long hair.
Yeah. No, that was actually Jimmy, so it was. That was.
I get confused between the two of them all the time, yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of them in it.
Yeah. So listen, I remember when John passed away, and he passed away with great help indeed from Galway Hospice Foundation, if I'm right there.
Yeah, oh, they were brilliant, so they were. Jesus, unreal. Unreal, so there.
So you decided, so your mother's one of the Sullivans then. So I'd have
grown, she is, yeah.
I'd have grown up beside her, so I would, but God bless her. And I'm sorry I got you confused from there. But okay, so there's one thing being a Sullivan, and there's one thing being a Ryan, and there's one thing going and remembering John O'Sullivan. But you're going to run from Pierce Stadium all the way to the Emirates in London.
Yeah.
It's no wonder you're sore. Were you in the trapper some night when you came up with this idea?
Jeez, I wish I was. It'd make a bit more sense.
What? When did you come up with the idea?
It just kind of, I don't know, just maybe a couple of weeks after it passed, it was just, I wanted to honour him some way and just got a brainwave chatting to a couple of my friends and about different ideas and that, and my aunties and stuff, and then just got this notion, and it kind of took on a life of its own, to be honest, which is some great help from everyone, and yeah, just see where it goes.
So come here, you're on the run already, so you are, you left from the Pierce Stadium, is that true? And when do you think you'll arrive into Emirates?
So I'm planning on arriving in the Emirates on the 24th of November. It's Friday. It's actually the day of John's birthday. So it is. Myself and one of my friends, Connor, we're going to fly out on the Friday morning and finish the last few kilometres. Hopefully it won't be too much left around, and finish at the Emirates.
So take me where you're running from and to, and how long you're going to dedicate to this now.
So I started on last Friday, so I did. Started at Pierce Stadium, and I kind of have different routes throughout the week. I kind of have a bit of a plan made up, but I want to. So I started at Pierce Stadium, I went out as far as Barna, then all the way back into Merview, and then the next day I went kind of Oranmore, Clarenbridge, Kilcolgan, and back again. So I'm just trying to hit different parts and different routes and clock up as much kilometres as I can.
So it's 706 kilometres from the hospice, Galway Hospice, to the Emirates in London. So you're going to clock up the mileage on this side and finish it over there then?
On this side then, yeah, finish it over there. I was actually in Old Trafford on Tuesday night, so I got a run in there as well, even though John probably wouldn't be too impressed with that now.
I wouldn't say so. Was he a Liverpool man?
Oh, big Arsenal man, so
yeah. Arsenal, excuse me. I'm really insulting him every step of the way, so I'm here today. So 706, and how much money are you hoping to raise then for Galway Hospice Foundation?
When I sat down chatting about it and talking about it with people, like 5,000 would have been unreal when I finished the whole lot of it, and geez, lucky enough, I've already way more than 5,000 raised so far. So I do between the sponsorship cards, the I donate, and the hospice boxes. It's Jesus crazy, so it is.
But it just shows, I mean, to be honest, the Sullivan family were well got in and around the year, and were always involved. Jimmy was always involved heavily in sport. So have you taken that gene then from that side of the family? And because to take this on, you must be very fit.
A small bit, more thick now than fit, I think. I think that's the sort of gene. So I don't.
What about the poor Ryan gene then? Where does that come into it?
Oh, there's a bit of that in it as well. So there's there's plenty of that.
It's an amazing story, so it really is an amazing story to. But it's a lovely way to remember him and to remember, an uncle that you lost tragically, unfortunately. He was too young. What age was John when he passed away?
62. So
same age as me.
Plenty of life left him.
Yeah.
So
I actually went to school with John. John was very tall, wasn't he? Jimmy had the long hair.
He was very tall. Yeah. John was very tall, so he was.
Yeah, John and I went to St. Michael's School together. We're the exact same age. Yeah, that was it, yeah. He kind of moved. Yeah. He moved slower than Jimmy. He had a slower gait about him than Jimmy. Yeah. So, listen, some of the comments coming into us today. Keith, wish Philip the very best of luck from Louise and Barry, doing what he's doing for the hospice in honour of our dear friend Sully, which is much loved by all of us and gone too soon. And other calls coming in there too. And Keith, Sully was a true friend of ours. We love him and we miss him so much. And we wish Philip and all John's family and friends, we're right behind you. He'd be so proud of you as well. So they're all donating money to you, Philip, so they are today.
Ah, it's brilliant. The messages and everything, the phone hasn't stopped, so it's lovely to hear, so it isn't. It shows that he meant a lot to other people as well. You know, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Another caller said, here we go. I love reading this one outside. Up Merview. There you go. Up Merview, Keith. There you go. Yeah. Listen, well done to you. And good luck to your own family, indeed, the Ryan and your mom family. And I hope keep in contact with us and let us know how you're getting on. So you think around the 24th of November?
Yeah, that's the plan, the 24th of November. So it is. We're going to fly out that morning and hopefully finish it then that afternoon and back then that evening for a few well-deserved pints, I think. That's the plan.
Yeah. All right. Listen, well done.
Yeah, so everything's on the, I have a Facebook page there, Remembering Sully, and it's just track. I keep posting all my runs and the struggles along the way.
Listen, keep in contact and thanks for joining us today, Philip. Regards to all the family and keep up the good work. And what you're doing is admirable. So just keep up the good work from there. We'll touch base with you coming close to the 24th as well. But thanks indeed for joining us today on the program. Philip Ryan joining us there. I just want to change tack altogether and just move on because I want to go to Munch and Ichira because it's Community Alert Month. And Gerard Costello from Munch and Ichira should be joining me on the line quite shortly. I'll just get to him in a moment there. And again, this October is National Community Alert Month, and over 1,000 community alert groups around the country, indeed, are encouraged to participate. I'll tell you what I'll have to do. I'll have to take a short commercial break, and we'll be back then with him. I just can't rise him on the line there. A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Now, though, let me go to Gerard Costello from Munch and Ichira about that Community Alert Month, and he joins you on the line. Gerard, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today. Again, Community Alert Month, very important as we go into the dark evenings. How can people get details on this one?
Details can be got from the head office, Munch and Ichira in Tipperary, or myself, where I'm based here in Galway. I can give you my contact details about it. My number is 086-6000-751. A lot of the groups, the community alert groups around about the county would be getting notification about this Community Alert Month, October. It was nationally, historically a national event, and we are reactivating it again this year. And the idea behind it is for groups that are already in operation to reconnect with the people in the community. And Garda Síochána and myself, the development officer. So that's, we'd say the information would be getting out there already to groups that are affiliated and are active in regards to community, people in communities. If they don't have a community alert group, reach out to ourselves or on Garda Síochána and we'll help them to support and set up a community alert group in their area. And as you mentioned there, Keith, yes, coming into the winter months, it's good to have the community alert group active in regards to crime prevention. And it's a program based about prevention, really, when you're talking about crime prevention, general community safety and well-being and accident prevention, you know. So there's a lot of aspects that can be adhered to in the program.
There is, it's a gentle balance there that you don't frighten people or panic people rather than keeping them safe. So there's a balance to be had there, Gerard. And I mean, there's equipment that available to people that they can have. There's the monitors and all of that type of stuff. But it's about being in the real time, looking out for each other and looking out for neighbours that may be vulnerable.
That's it. Munch and Ichira, the founding organisation, was established in 1937, and the Community Alert Programme was brought in 1985. Text Alert was brought in 2013. And all those, when you go back over the years, they're still all relevant today. And as you say, the balance between fear and being able to keep moving is what's needed. And having good neighbours and self-reliance and reducing, we'd say, the fear aspect by communicating and having get-togethers is really the main part of it. And as well as that, you know, we're in the week of positive ageing, and the programme is really, of Community Alert, is about supporting the older and vulnerable people. And positive ageing is about getting out, being involved in a community alert group, setting up little activities that would overcome isolation. And when you're in the isolation part, you end up with fear. And these are programs that community alert groups can put together and roll out, especially over the winter months, you know, to allay the fear. And as you say, it's getting the balance between the two. And as well as the other part is linking in with the local guards. Because, the numbers of Gardaí are limited around the area, which is knowledge to everyone, but they're there, they're willing to help once they get the call. So as they always say, the call they don't get is the one, the call we do get is no problem, the call we don't get is a worry. So it's reaching out to ourselves and the Garda Síochána, and within Galway as well, there's a new system set up within the super's office that community groups can link in and have the connection there to meet up with the Gardaí and provide crime prevention talks. And it's not all about fear. It's about prevention. Again, you know. But so that's what we need to get out, that being the good neighbour and helping out to one another.
Again, your number is 086-6000, that's 600-751. It's quite simple. That's 086-6000-751. Yeah. Is there a cost involved in this?
Not a huge cost involved in it. A cost of affiliation, €50 to Muinchean na Tíre within the year. Other than that, insurance is a cost, okay, that can be involved. But it's a safety aspect of having it. So you're looking at insurance costing somewhere in the region of €150-200 for a community group to be involved. Then if a group is registered with the text alert system, there is what's called a rebate, which was funding that was given by the department or is given by the Department of Justice in order to support community alert groups that would be running a text alert system. So that's up to €350 has been there over the last number of years of a grant to groups. So it will offset the cost really that's involved in running a group, you know. So and again, I've found groups who have taken donations or done collections over the years to keep the system going, even ending up with a surplus of money that they've used to other advantages, especially for older people. And what they would have done is provided cost-effective smoke alarms, fire blankets, units for key boxes for outside of houses. So there's not a huge cost involved in it overall. I won't say that there isn't a cost, but it's not a huge cost at the end of the day. And again, like the alarms for the older people that are there, which are a huge benefit, again, for saving lives, for allaying fear, those are there available to anyone over the age of 65 free. There's no means test, nothing involved in it. There is a monitoring fee, okay, the second year and year after, about €70 per year, which is very little cost overall. And at the end of the day, you have somebody at the end of a line within 30 seconds once you press that button, once everything is available and working. So that's a huge benefit, both to allay fear and to help with medical concerns as well, you know.
All right, Gerard Costello, thank you for joining us, Muinchean na Tíre. And again, his number is 086-6000-751. I'll leave that number with Fiona today if you want to give her a call here on 0917-007-77. She'll have it on file and can give it to you from there. That's 087-6000-751, or just call us here and we can give you details of it as well. Now, we have a lot to come to the programme yet. We have a huge amount to come on the programme just yet, and we'll get to it in a moment. By the way, I want to send my thoughts to the family affected by that woeful fire in the Ballybeg area as well. I know the family, I know the extended, I know the immediate family, the extended family as well. Our thoughts with everybody indeed involved in that unfortunate accident that occurred, and I just hope that everything goes well for all the parties involved in that. It was a very quick fire, but the emergency services, fire brigade and ambulances and Gardaí were on the scene very quickly. It doesn't matter how quickly they were there, there's still people hurting and still people indeed in hospital. Well, one in Dublin, and our thoughts are with them. You know the family very well, I'm not naming anybody, but it rattled me yesterday evening, and I made contact with one member of the family that I know just to say we're thinking of you, and we really are thinking of them today. Now, 83% of Irish grandparents assist with childcare of their grandchildren, according to a survey from MyNameTags.ie. I'm joined on the line now by Mohammed Khan, who's the marketing manager from MyNameTags.ie. And Mohammed joins me on the line. Morning to you.
Good morning. Hello.
Good to talk to you. Thanks indeed for joining us today. It's quite a staggering figure, so it is, but it's good for the grandchildren and perhaps even for the grandparents.
I believe so. I think it's more of a heartwarming number. Kind of expected, but it's also always good to hear. Definitely for the grandparents. I mean, for both, to be honest. I think it's more of a strengthen the bond. I think having the children getting the proper parenting from their actual right source is actually amazing too, as well as getting the wise experience. Plus more, I think it's endless, the benefits for both. It's amazing.
And again, the survey that you've done, there's quite a bit of information coming out of it. But I mean, at 83% of Irish grandparents assisting with childcare, it's a significant figure when you take that so many people have gone abroad and they're not living at home, and your grandparents and or otherwise. It is quite a significant figure, though.
It is. Considering that I would say likely grandchildren have a possibility of having two grandmothers and two grandfathers, that makes it a bit easier. For many cases, maybe that's a good possibility too. So with that number, I think it's 8 out of 10 is a really good number. Whether it's only at one grandparent or both, it's always great to have a grandmother or grandfather nearby or easily reached too.
Within the survey, you looked at names and nicknames for grandparents. It's quite interesting, some of the names that have come out.
Yes. I mean, of course, we have the well-known, famous Nana with 54%, and then followed by Granny with 42%. It was quite, we quite knew it was going to happen, but we have then different names, nicknames. For example, Gra-Gra, and Grangan and Bam Bam for grandfathers, granddads. These are quite interesting.
I haven't come across Gra-Gra, Grangang or Bam Bam, whatever fits the bill.
Exactly. And I think it's creativity as well. It's creativity. I think it's every grandfather, every grandchild has his own way of dealing with their grandfather. For example, today I'm actually traveling today for a day for work, and my kids, a son and a daughter, are going are having a sleepover with their grandmother, like my mother, and they're happy. They're both happy. Like my son is preparing steak for dinner today. He's doing the steaks, and it's actually a great. It's always great memories to have.
It certainly is. But again, I mean, you've some figures there in relation to sleepovers as well, and those figures are quite staggering. But you know what? It also gives the parents a bit of a break as well.
Exactly. It's certainly a break. And it's always the feel. You know, you feel extra safe that. Your children are with your parents. I think this is an extra safety measure that it's always good to have. It's quite an advantage.
Absolutely, but I mean, 57% of those surveyed also stated that their children had sleepovers in their grandparents' home, giving them a night off childcare duties, which is like, that's nearly 60%, which, you know what, it just shows that if grandparents are involved, and if they're in a position to help, or if they want to help, Muhammad Khan, it does make a difference.
It does, certainly. It shapes the whole family structure, the whole personality as well of the child, as well as creates a good heartwarming moments for the grandparents as well.
What made MyNameTags.ie decide to do this survey for Grandparents Day today?
We're always excited about names, nicknames, because we're a name labels company. We're saying to the world, we have 11 websites delivering to the world, and names has always been interesting, because we go through different names from different cultures, different countries. So it's always interesting. It always reflects whether it's history, generations. Parents and ways of thinking as well. It's always always going to be interesting dealing with names and getting more knowledge on how and why are we calling, are we called and calling by our names, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the survey is very recent, so it is, because you did this in August 23, so it's still very relevant today on the 6th of October.
Yes, it is. It's definitely, certainly. And it's great to have a day for every year to basically mark our memories, whether with our grandparents or with our kids' grandparents as well. So it's a great day to have, honestly.
Well, to all the grandparents out there, on behalf of Mohammed Khan, the marketing manager from MyNameTags.ie, and all of us here in Galway Bay FM, happy Grandparents' Day, and I hope that you do something nice and just celebrate indeed being grandparents. And I do hope, Mohammed, that the steak goes well tonight. You could be coming home from that work trip very, very quickly.
Exactly, it's just one day. It's more than enough, I think, for my mother.